On June 19, 1865, Union troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, with President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation that the Civil War was over and all people still enslaved in Texas were free. The first Juneteenth celebration was a year later, 1866, with church-centered gatherings, prayer services, and music. I was born right next to Galveston. Why had I never heard of Juneteenth until I arrived in California in 1992? It's never too late to learn. In 1943, my family moved from Texas to pre-electrification Oklahoma, imagine, to Eagletown, capital of the Choctaw Nation, my grandparents' homestead and Oklahoma's oldest post office. My Cherokee grandmother, its postmaster. I could never figure out why Uncle Harold looked like an Indian, but I knew nothing of my Native American heritage until I was out of college. It's never too late to learn. My parents ran a small grocery store, and every Friday, my daddy would give me 2 bags of groceries to take to an elderly black couple who lived literally across the tracks. They called me Mr. Ernest, always tipped me with a nickel. Not until after college, when they'd died, did I learn they were escaped slaves. Why didn't I know that? Wish I'd known. They were so kind. Maybe I'd have lingered a bit, asked questions. It's never too late to learn. Often I hear, I wish I'd known, from people learning a new way to read the Bible. I understand, because after my many college courses on the Bible, I'd given up. It had no relationship to anything else I was learning. So, as some of you know, I told the dean of divinity school I didn't need more Bible courses ever. It's a graduate school, Dean Miller said. Take what you like. But during bull sessions at dinner, I heard new stuff. The Old Testament professors were the world's leading biblical archaeologists. I said, I can do that. Their courses set a context for all the others. Transformed my life. Religion and reality finally integrated for the first time. The word of the Lord, we respond to every Sunday, doesn't involve the words of the Lord. All stories understandable only in their cultural, historical context. The Bible became my passion. It's never too late to learn. So, how do you read the Bible? Readings appointed for today from our 3-year cycle provide a glimpse at how to do that, much needed, because for good reason, most people don't read it at all. Without context and understanding of its worldviews, it generally makes no sense, not believable. Wonderful insight there. And in 3 years at Sunday worship, you will have heard the most important thoughts in the Bible. It's never too late to learn. Our study of the Bible should always begin with this statement. We don't know anything for sure. And if someone says they do, run for the nearest exit. We live by faith, but it can be an informed faith, which is why the Episcopal Church, with its reliance on scripture, tradition, and reason, continues to be attractive to me. Understanding that the Bible is composed of layers of mythology and theology, music and history. As Father David used to say accurately, the Bible is true and some of it actually happened. So scripture always tries to answer the question, why? In that light, consider the ancient story of Abraham. What happens to Ishmael, a son by his Egyptian slave Hagar, and Isaac, a son by his wife Sarah? Now remember, any time you read about God speaking to people, you know you've entered theology, not history. God doesn't do it. Watching Ishmael and Isaac innocent playing together, Sarah gets ticked off, forcing Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael packing. But God assures that he'd take good care of both of them, would make a great nation of both sons, answering the question, where did Arabs and Hebrews come from, living in the same territory? The four approved theologies, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were less interested in history than they were the meaning of who Jesus was, what he did. But crucial to the spread of this new religion was Paul. What we heard today is Paul wrestling with the question still baffling to many Christians: how can God be at work in a human being? His conclusion was at the heart of his theology. God was here among us at work in the activity of a really historical man, Jesus. Without Paul's struggle, recorded in his letters and his trip to Rome, Christianity probably would not have expanded into Europe, remaining a denomination of Judaism. Now, some say that the spread of Christianity was simply God's plan, an attitude comparable to the way people saw the role of God in creation. Zap, and it was done. Until the Reverend Deacon Charles Darwin, did you know he was a deacon of the Anglican Church? Boarded the HMS Beagle as its naturalist for an expedition. His observations and specimens provided the first key to evolutionary biology and changed the understanding of the whole world. It's never too late to learn. On Tuesday, I told Bible study, it's a tough gospel this Sunday. And I hear the insightful voice of Jesus and the hindsight of Matthew as he describes the turmoil this new religion was causing within families. In Judaism, family is everything. And there he was, disrupting new ways, causing total destruction beyond what any had ever experienced. Mindful of the families in the 60s, traditional parents with hippie kids. In my faith, it's crucial to say from the pulpit in church, Jesus was a human being, period. He was not half and half like Iolanthe in that wonderful program of Gilbert and Sullivan. He was not a God walking around with all the answers in the back of the book. But in the Gospels, it appears that Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He didn't. That's hindsight, written by a community who knew how the story ended. Now, if you've been brought up otherwise, that's hard to hear. Thinking he had knowledge of the future cheapens Jesus' life, gives no credit to his insight and courage, has no relationship with our lives because we don't know. Jesus lived by faith just as we do. For sure, Jesus knew he was in trouble, but if he was just going through the motions on the cross, no suffering cheapens his life and his death. With hindsight, Matthew has Jesus say, "Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." He didn't know how he's going to die. This is mid-Matthew, for God's sake, before Jesus was even in trouble. That raises lots of questions for people who believe everything in the Bible are eyewitness events. Other than knowing Jesus was killed on a cross, no one knows what happened that day. If disciples had been there, they'd have been arrested and killed too. The account of his death is based on Psalm 22. Listen to how it begins. "My God, my God, why have you deserted me? Scorn of mankind, jest of the people, all who see me jeer at me. They toss their heads and sneer. He relied on the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him if he wants to. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothes." Sound familiar? It's what we read on Good Friday. It's my understanding and my faith that virtually all scripture was written from hindsight, encapsulating its meaning. So Matthew, not Jesus, says, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. Only you can be like him." Jesus could care less about hierarchy of any kind. He would never have said that. It's never too late to learn. So, don't give up on the Bible. Listen to it with your mind and with your heart. If the stories get weird, chalk them up to cultural and worldview differences. Remember, the Bible was written in the Bronze and Iron Ages. We don't live there anymore. Question, and never fear to ask us clergy about it. Now, as you know, we won't necessarily agree. But like the differences in the gospel, those differences form a kind of hologram, revealing a three-dimensional of the people in the Bible, their traditions, the meaning they discovered in their own time relevant to ours. Get to know those people and this incredible man, Jesus, whom we call the Christ. The understandings and insights in Hebrew Scripture and the New Testament can enrich your life, help you pause to think and meditate on deep things, and with humility, consider and celebrate our pilgrimage together, which, as the benediction says, brings peace which passes all understanding. And with thanksgiving, we carry on, knowing it's never too late to learn.